Okay, good morning. I'm going to talk about a project that's been going on for about 5 years now, and I'm Jeanette Norton. The Yang Ouyang, who's going to speak next, was a PhD student during that time, and our collaborator, John Stark, and we are at Utah State University. Okay, so I don't have to really belabor this point with the crowd that's at these meetings, but nitrate leaching and fertilizer runoff from agriculture has large impacts on water quality at many different levels, and nitrate in particular has gained a lot of attention more recently with situations such as found in Iowa with Des Moines City and the waterworks making a lawsuit against counties for farmers. And overall, we have a large increase over the last few decades, of course, of nitrogen fertilizers in agriculture. So we are interested in studying nitrogen mineralization and nitrification in agricultural systems because these are such key internal soil transformations, converting ammonium to nitrate, which is more subject to loss and to the production of greenhouse gases such as nitrous oxide. Typically, in many agricultural soils, the nitrogen use efficiencies are less than 50% of the fertilizer ending up within the plant. So if we are to better match that nitrogen supply with plant demand, we need to understand more about the processes of mineralization and nitrification in these soils to reach our goal of increasing nitrogen fertilizer use efficiency. So just a small, quick background on nitrification. It's a very interesting process, typically thought of as occurring in two steps, ammonia oxidation with a group of organisms, both ammonia oxidizing bacteria and ammonia oxidizing archaea that perform ammonia oxidation, and then nitrate oxidation nitrate produced by a second group of organisms, including Nitrospira as a nitrate oxidizing bacteria. And interesting sidelights, some nitrite oxidizing bacteria have now also been found that can oxidize ammonia and do the whole process. Okay. Whereas nitrogen mineralization, it's mediated by a whole community of bacteria and fungi, a wide variety of enzymes, not a limited suite of enzymes, so much more diverse in the decomposition of organic matter, and this decomposition, the depolymerization of soil organic nitrogen compounds such as proteins into their monomers is often a limiting step. And it's the linkage between these mineralization and nitrification processes that we are often interested in soils. We've studied this in a controlled randomized block design experiment at Utah State University, and this we have additional plots in Georgia as well. I'm not going to talk about those today. And there's some organic farm plots that Yang is going to talk about in the next talk. This is a complete randomized block design, and the treatments are control nitrogen fertilizers, ammonium sulfate fertilizer at 112 and 224 kilograms nitrogen per hectare, and then a composted steer manure also at 224 kilograms nitrogen per hectare, total N. Okay, so what happens with the nitrification? What we've seen over the years is that the ammonium sulfate fertilizers are increasing nitrification potentials over time, even in the first year of the study, and that this pattern is maintained over 4 to 5 years in these soils. And the rate of application of fertilizer increases the potential for nitrification. If If we look at the abundance of these different groups of organisms, the bacteria versus the archaea, in these same plots over time, what we see is that after, in the very first year, you start out, everything is fairly equivalent, not statistically different in the different plots. And that happened, and then in that first August, we also did not see any differences. In the following May, before fertilization, also no difference. But by the second, after the second fertilization, we start to see differences in the log of the copy numbers of these different organisms. Mostly, we saw differences only in the bacterial population sizes, not in the archaeal population size, even though the archaeal ammonia oxidizers are present in higher overall amounts. They did not change, their abundance did not change with fertilizer treatments. There's also a change in the community structure of the ammonia oxidizing bacteria based on the sequences of the AMOA gene. And what we saw was first a separation based on the year, so that these are all the treatments in the first year. So that makes sense that we don't see the difference in that first year. But by 2 years later, and after three rounds of fertilization, what we do see is that the compost and the control are down here at the bottom, and all the fertilizer, the ammonium sulfate fertilizers, have shifted up into their fairly different community than what was present at the beginning. Whereas in the archaea, we don't see that same shift. So the bacteria, the ammonia oxidizing bacteria, are more responsive to the nitrogen fertilizer source. Okay. But what about not just their numbers? What about, let's think about what's their contribution to the actual nitrification itself? In order to examine this factor, we used a differential inhibitor called octane, which inhibits the ammonia oxidizing bacteria, specifically, and the ammonia oxidizing archaea will continue to nitrify in the presence of octane. So using this, we were able to differentiate the activity of these two groups. And this in this graph, what you can see is over the season of the year, what happens to the net, and this is the net nitrification now, not a nitrification potential. At the beginning of the season, before fertilization, the net nitrification is fairly low in terms of the amount that's being transferred per day, because there's no readily available ammonium source in the soil, just the ambient ammonium. You fertilize with both the ammonium sulfate and the compost, and you see a rapid increase. 3 days after the fertilization, you have a very rapid net nitrification rate, and almost all of that nitrification is due to the bacteria. That's the lighter part of the bar here. The darker shading areas of the bar across the bottom, that's the rate that's due to archaea. So that rate also, it increases a little bit, but right after fertilization, you get a massive pulse of nitrification that's mediated by the ammonia oxidizing bacteria. Towards the end of the growing season, at 80 days, what remains is almost all archaeal ammonia oxidation, or nitrification, I should say. So what's controlling this change in the dominance of bacteria versus archaea in the nitrification rate? We wanted to look at the effect of ammonium concentration. These are laboratory studies looking at the kinetics of the ammonia oxidation with the, this is the bacterial ammonia oxidation. I want you to note the scale of the nitrification rates. These are nitrification potentials. Across the bottom of the axis is the ammonium concentration in millimolar, and the octane resistant nitrification is shown in this side over here. And I want you to note that the scale is 10 times smaller. So these curves are all down at the bottom comparatively of that curve over there. So the ammonia oxidizing bacteria continue to respond as you add more ammonium. Their rate continues to increase over time. And the different colors of the lines represent the different soils from the different treatments. So the soil from the highly fertilized ammonium sulfate 200 treatments, those have the highest maximum rate. And then the 100 treatment, and then the compost and the control are quite similar. In terms of, if you think about across the scale of, at the very, very low end of the ammonium concentration, the amount of nitrification is almost all done by archaeal ammonia oxidizers, and then this falls off rapidly as ammonium becomes more available. Okay, so you could model this. You can use Michaelis-Menten type kinetics to look at these kinetic characterizations of these different components of the nitrifying community. The ammonia oxidizing bacteria have a higher Vmax, and it's higher in the ammonium sulfate treated soils than in the compost treated soils. And also the Km is quite different for the ammonia oxidizing bacteria. So that's the affinity. The ammonia oxidizing bacteria have much higher Kms, lower affinities than the ammonia oxidizing archaea. And there's a big difference in terms of the also the nitrogen source treatment. But we know it's not only ammonium concentration. What about temperature? So we also found that the AOB and the AOA have different temperature response for their relative activity. Okay, so in this case, we didn't see a different temperature response by treatment, but there is a different temperature response. The ammonia oxidizing bacteria have a lower temperature optimum, so they're at a low temperature, cool temperatures. The ammonia oxidizing bacteria are more active versus the ammonia oxidizing archaea. And so if you look at that comparison, so at the cooler temperatures, less of the nitrification is due to archaea, and then at the very highest temperatures, hardly any of the nitrification would be due to the bacteria at that point, at temperatures over about 45°C. Okay. The activity, I'll talk a little bit about the nitrite oxidizers. We found that the activity did also change with fertilizers, but the abundance did not change over over time for the nitrite oxidizers. We found nitrifier shifts looking at communities, including the nitrite oxidizers, the AOA and the AOB. Communities did shift with treatment when you put those all together, and also with the year of the treatment. The mineralization activities, we did see almost all the effects was that compost increased the activity of the mineralization activity enzyme, so that's pretty understandable. And we saw some increases also with fertilizers, but for the most part, the compost has higher rates. But we didn't see large changes in the functional genes involved in these nitrogen mineralization. We didn't see the effect of treatment there. And I would just say that we have additional work to do on those mineralization enzyme encoding genes. We have metagenomics where we can pull out some of those genes from the metagenomics to better design primers and also to use some of that for at least community composition on those. So take-home message, ammonia-oxidizing bacteria were more responsive than archaea to the nitrogen source. Ammonium availability, temperature, control the relative contributions of the groups. And if we want to think about where we want to target controlling nitrification, we want to really think about controlling right after fertilizer application with the control, the ammonia oxidizing bacterial component of the community to improve nitrogen use efficiency. And with these tools and our understanding better of substrate and temperature control, we could model increase our modeling efforts in terms of nitrification. So just a thanks to my co-advisors, students, and funding sources. Thank you.